You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and the anchors have been weighed. From Miami to Nassau, she's bound across the waves. She'll be heading south through Biscayne Bay into the open sea, Yarmouth Castle. She's a dying and don't know it. This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates Gordon Lightfoot's music song by song, a proud member of the That's Not Canon podcast network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and with me today is a fellow Lightfoot fan making his second appearance on the show from the great state of Alaska, Kevin McClear. Kevin, welcome back to Carefree Highway Revisited.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure is all mine. Now, why did you want to talk about Yarmouth Castle? And this is a song that is fairly obscure. It only appeared on one album, and I've heard scuttlebutt that it was not necessarily one of Gordon's favorites when he looked back on it. What's the meaning of this song to you?
To understand why I love this song, and I do love this song, but to understand why I love it, you have to understand three other things. First off, Yarmouth Castle, she was a ship that had sailed very profitably for quite a while under the name Evangeline. She had seen a couple of owners, and she was a ship. She was a steel ship with a wooden superstructure and literally could not be certified by the U.S. Coast Guard for the passage of passenger vessels. And so the owners, one of them went bankrupt and sold to another, what we now call a shell company, reflagged her in Panama. And the Coast Guard was legally unable to enforce the rules that would have otherwise, prevented her sailing. And so she was able to, through this loophole, transport U.S. citizens, passengers, from Florida to the Bahamas. And it's worth remembering, it's worth knowing that in the course of history, the second most dangerous thing to a sailor, aside from the weather itself, was the owners, inability or indecision or the reasoning for owners to not actually maintain their vessels. And we don't get that story very often. We don't.
No, and we'll talk a little bit about the backstory and all of this, but the thing that I think of is that the Yarmouth Castle had actually passed some sort of a safety test 3 weeks before it sailed. But it does make you wonder how thorough that safety check was, given everything that we're going to see in the events of November 1965 to this vessel, which is its last voyage.
It was as thorough as the U.S. Coast Guard could do for a foreign flagged vessel, and that's the point. Something to remember also is that this story led to a changing of international treaties because the U.S. Coast Guard was unable to do more. And so you asked me why I like this song, and I like this song because unlike other songs that Gordon does, and he does a lot of fantastic songs about sailing, about the oceans and whatnot. There's the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald has a storm come in. The ghost of Cape Horn. It's still all about the environment, but not the political environment, not the economic environment, and that is an important part that, a couple of years back, a lot was made about Andrea Gale and the Perfect Storm. And in that, there was a discussion about the modifications that were made by the owners that made her an unseaworthy vessel. But that came out in a discussion about meteorology. not about the economics of what's going on. And here we have a case where we have a vessel that was only sailing through a loophole. And she did pass the inspection. She passed every inspection the Coast Guard could legally throw at her. And this is where we go.
Well, you mentioned the fact that there's not a discussion in Edmund Fitzgerald or Cape Horn or Christian Island or any other thing. There's no discussion of the man-made circumstances mm-hmm. that are there. And I think another thing that differentiates this is that unlike the other two that we've mentioned, there are survivors in this mm-hmm. one. And the song references those people who can look back and say, this was what our experience was. Whereas the other two, everybody went to the bottom of the sea or was never accounted for after that. And so this is, to me, the thing that makes it all the more interesting mm-hmm. because it really showed that Lightfoot really had to get his story right in writing this. Now, that's the content of it aspect for me. I mean, the thing that I like about it as a song is that it's a straight folk song. It's very typical of early Lightfoot in that it's not overly personal, but it also has a beginning, middle, and end, which mm-hmm. is also something that he's not necessarily known for telling stories. Of course, he does them from time to time, but this is a straight up story song. And it could probably find itself in the category that another podcast might do about this. What to you is the best setting to listen to this? Is there a particular place, a particular time of day, a particular thing that you'd be doing where you'd think, I'd really like to hear this song? Hopefully not sailing on a ship from between Nassau and Miami.
Perhaps not there. But there is a place for it. Say, if you're in a harbor and you miss the tide because of a storm and you don't know if you're going to miss the other tide. It's a ghost story, you know? It's a thing that happens best in those moments when time is not important because you're waiting on the tide. There's nothing else and you can reflect on it. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps when you're getting ready to go talk to a legislature about laws that need to be changed.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about the safety of lives at sea, which was the series of laws that was passed probably as a result of this particular incident. Let's talk a little bit about how it got written. Now, the story that I heard from Jennings' biography and other places was that Lightfoot was actually staying with Joni Anderson, who would later be better known as Joni Mitchell, and her then husband, Chuck. They were living in Detroit, and he read in a magazine about this had happened, about this incident, that there had been this old steamer. It had gone out to sea. It had caught fire. It had sunk about 2/3 of the way between Miami and Nassau. And of course, it's not the only time that he's going to be inspired by a maritime disaster to sit down and write a song about it. Is there anything you can add to that, or is that pretty much the story that you've heard about how it got written?
Well, I don't have anything that I can add. I can't speak to his mind or intentions, but I will point out that as Evangeline, Yarmouth Castle sailed between Boston, Yarmouth, and Boston, and St. John's. And so in her early years before she was a World War II troop transport, she was an American-Canadian vessel. And so it's entirely possible that that Lightfoot knew of her, you know, through other connections and had seen photos of her and other things. The other thing is, I don't think it's beyond reason to suspect that the person who wrote Don Quixote would see that there's also very much a sense of class in this story. And the fact that she was an old vessel, she was not a vessel that would be transporting the rich and famous. And it's entirely possible that that led into some of the decisions that were made that led her to be where she was.
Well, that's all the time we have for Here in the Public Feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.